podcast service of Quaker Gap Baptist Church in King, North Carolina, where our mission is to glorify God by growing Christ-like people.
So it's about the cross this morning, as you may have imagined. Last week we gave you a reminder of what the mission statement of our church is. It's at the top of your bulletin every Sunday. It says that we are a church that glorifies God by growing Christ-like people, that is our mission. And if we're not making progress in our Christ-likeness as individuals, maybe it's because we're doing it the wrong way. Maybe it's because we're doing it the wrong way. So I got some internet pictures of doing it the wrong way, so you can see what it looks like to do it the wrong way. So yeah, umbrellas can be very handy when they're used properly. Here's another one. Somebody should come up with a solution for sun glare, you know? Maybe they could put it on a hat or something. Next, see, her form is awesome, right? She is set up perfectly. There's just one thing that she did wrong. Next one, yeah, if, I don't know whose fault this was, the guy who left his car there or the guy who was painting the stripes, but this guy has a new decoration for the front end of his vehicle. Next one, baking pizza in the oven, right? What could go wrong? Yeah, I guess it could go wrong. And then one more, yeah, that's horrible, right? That's the worst one. They should have built a drive-through garage. Maybe their last house had a drive-through garage. I don't know, but now they have a drive-through garage. So this is what it looks like to do it wrong, right? Well, what about Christ-likeness, right? If we are trying to become more like Jesus Christ, and we find ourselves standing still or gradually moving in the opposite direction in our actions and attitudes, and we're becoming less and less like Jesus Christ, or we're not like Jesus Christ any more than we were a few years ago, and we've been walking with him all this time, then something is not happening right. Maybe we're doing it wrong. So last week we started a series of messages called Mission Possible. Mission Possible. We talked about the fact that the first step in becoming Christ-like is to quit. It is to recognize that becoming Christ-like is an impossible mission in your own strength. But if you quit and surrender, and if you realize your own sinfulness and your own weakness in comparison to God's holiness and God's power, and then surrender to Jesus, it makes all the difference in the world. Jesus said in John chapter 12, starting with verse 24, "Very truly I tell you, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. Anyone who loves their life will lose it, while anyone who hates their life in this world will keep their life, will keep it for eternal life." So Jesus was talking about himself for sure, that he had to go to the cross and be put in the grave in order for there to be a great harvest. But he's talking about you and me as well, that we need to come to the end of ourselves and die before there can be any progress in our lives, spiritually speaking. Fruitfulness and Christ-likeness begins with dying to yourself so that you're emptied and you're available to be filled by God. So this morning I want you to turn with me in your Bible to Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6, and the main verse of interest today is going to be verse 14 of Galatians 6, but we're going to get a running start. We're going to start back at verse 11. Galatians chapter 6, starting with verse 11. Paul writes, "See what large letters I use as I write to you with my own hand. Those who want to impress people by means of the flesh are trying to compel you to be circumcised. The only reason they do this is to avoid being persecuted for the cross of Christ. Not even those who are circumcised keep the law, yet they want you to be circumcised that they may boast about your circumcision in the flesh. May I never boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. Neither circumcision nor uncircumcision means anything. What counts is the new creation. And so as we look at this passage of Scripture this morning, Paul begins by saying, look, at the large letters I use as I write to you with my own hand. There's a lot of discussion about what on earth Paul meant by that, why he included that in his letter here at the end. And there are some theories about it. Some people believe that Paul wrote the whole letter to the Galatians in his own handwriting. And he's just making light of that at the end. Look, folks, this was so important to me that I wrote it myself. See, typically he would have a secretary or an amanuensis, the fancy word for it, who he would dictate to, and they would write it down. But in this case, perhaps he wrote the whole thing, or perhaps he started writing just the conclusion. I kind of think that may be what it was like. But we don't have Paul's original letter to look at, so we don't know. But it could have been that starting with verse 11 here at the end of chapter 6, at the end of his letter, he started writing in his own handwriting, which for him may have been difficult because of his eyesight. And so, indeed, his letters would have been much larger than the letters of his secretary. Those are just theories, and that really doesn't matter. What does matter is this, that the Apostle Paul had a heart for these churches in the region of Galatia because he had planted these churches, and he had some very important words that he needed to speak to them. He needed to admonish them for some errors that were taking place in the church, that the true gospel of Jesus Christ was being polluted by sin and by wrong thinking. See, Paul wrote this letter to a group of churches to let them know that they were doing it wrong. Just as we saw, they were doing it wrong. They were getting the gospel confused. They were adding to the good news of Jesus Christ, and they were confusing believers who were coming into the church. So recognize that in the early church is a lot different than what we have today, that the majority of the new believers had originally been Jews. It was Jews that came to Jesus first. It was Jews that had given their life to the Messiah, Jesus, first. Then eventually, as the gospel spread, then Gentiles began coming to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ as well. Well, you recognize that when you get two completely different groups of people in many ways, and you put them together into one body, that there's probably going to be a little bit of give and take, a little bit of friction. And so between these early Jews and Gentiles in the church in the Galatian area, there was confusion. Because some of the Jews had become believers in Jesus Christ, but they were continuing in their Jewishness. Right? They were continuing to live according to the law of Moses because that's what they were used to. There was nothing wrong with them doing that, by the way. They were free to live according to the law of Moses if that is what made them comfortable. The problem came when they were trying to convince these new Gentile believers who were in the church with them that they were doing it wrong and they needed to follow the law of Moses too. Look, if you want to be a super spiritual follower of Jesus Christ, it's not enough, they would say, to just come to Jesus. You need to come to Jesus and then also come to Moses. And you need to be circumcised, and you need to follow the dietary laws, and you need to celebrate the feasts, and you need to make pilgrimages to Jerusalem, and you need to make all these changes in your life if you want to be a true follower of Jesus. And they took great pride in this. They felt like they were first-class citizens in the church because they were circumcised and they were following the Mosaic law, and that the others, the Gentiles, were less than them. And so if we want to have a church where you're spiritual, you're going to need to change your ways and be more like us. Look what Paul says in verse 12 about their pride. He says, "Those who want to impress people by means of the flesh are trying to compel you to be circumcised." He points them out. He says, what is their motive in doing this? They want you to be impressed with them. They want to be impressed with themselves. Right? They were using worldly things, the things of the flesh, in order to impress others. We'll call this the craving for glory. The craving for glory. Truth of the matter is that all of us as human beings were born with a desire for glory. Right? It's why we watch sports. And when our team wins, we get all excited and we rush the quad and throw toilet paper, even if we just beat the Tar Heels in football. That's why we get so excited, right? Because it's a win, right? That's why we do that. Because of glory. We all want to have glory. We all talk about the past. Why? Because for some of us, our glory days are in the past, as Bruce Springsteen sang about our glory days. They're in the past, and we remember the things of the past, and we get together and we talk about them. Remember that? Yeah, that was awesome. Because it makes us feel impressed with ourselves and with others to talk about some of these things. That's the craving for glory. So if you come into the church by faith in Jesus and then try to impress others by using worldly things, you're doing it wrong, is what Paul is saying. You are doing it wrong. You do not become Christ-like by just trusting in Jesus for salvation and strict obedience to the law, to a bunch of rules. That is not how you become Christ-like, by putting your faith in Jesus and obeying a bunch of rules and laws. Whether they are the rules that Moses wrote or the rules that anybody else wrote, that is not the way that you become Christ-like. Christ-likeness comes to us with our daily walk with Jesus, as we obey His word and listen to Him and hear the voice of the Spirit. Not as we make a list of hoops to jump through and then become proud when we jump through them and then shame other people who don't jump through them. And this is what the Jews were doing in the churches of Galatia. If spirituality was about carrying a big black Bible around and buying a suit off the clearance rack at JCPenney's, we could all be spiritual easily. We'd nail it if it were that easy. But it's not all about that. Spirituality is not about doing external things to impress people, to please them, to glory in ourselves. It's not about craving the glory of the other people around us. It's about our standing before God and our daily walk with Him in humility and servanthood. That's the example of Christ, who never sought glory. In fact, when the crowds began to build, He began to walk away. Well, He deserves all glory and honor and power now at the right hand of the Father. But while He was on earth, He modeled for us what it was like to live a humble life, not in the flesh. It's about our humility toward others. So look down at Galatians chapter 6. Go all the way back to verse 3, if you would. Galatians chapter 6, verse 3. It says, if anyone thinks they are something when they are not, they deceive themselves. Each one should test their own actions. Then they can take pride in themselves alone without comparing themselves to someone else. See, he's talking about the fact that there were people in these churches in the Galatian region who were deceiving themselves by trying to be something when they were nothing. Last week we talked about the fact that the starting place in becoming Christ-like is making yourself nothing, surrendering, quitting, standing before God and saying, I can't do this, it's impossible. That's the starting place to repent of our sins and to turn away from the evil of our lives and all of the worldly things. It's about our humility. One of the problems that Paul dealt with in the Galatian church was pride. But it wasn't pride in the Lord. It wasn't glorying in Christ. It was pride in themselves. And the issue was circumcision. Now, I know it's uncomfortable for us to talk about circumcision, and it's not a problem in the church today. So it's hard for us to make a one-to-one correlation between what they were experiencing and what we experience today, because we don't fight over those sorts of things. But you see, these Jews became believers in Jesus, and they took pride in influencing the Gentiles that were in the church who had also come to Jesus to be circumcised. That's what Paul says. They were glorying and taking pride in getting other people to be circumcised. So how many did you get this week? How many did you get this week? It's like they were collecting scalps or something. Do you see the pride that Paul is talking about here in this passage? Let's call this strategy the contrivance of glory. The contrivance of glory. It's glory that they're after. They crave it. Well, how are they going to get it? They're going to get it by making people around them live up to their standard of the rules that they have established. So they were attempting to impress others by getting glory for themselves. So verse 12 tells us this. It says, those who want to impress people by means of the flesh are trying to compel you to be circumcised. Now, Paul says the only reason they do this is to avoid being persecuted for the cross of Christ. See, some of these Jews were having a hard time living their lives in the Galatian region because there were some people that they were friends with who were still Jews who would never believe in Jesus, who would never believe in a Savior or a Messiah who died on the cross. But these Jews had put their faith in Jesus. But they were ashamed. And so they continue to live according to the law of Moses in order to impress their old friends while trying to change their new friends to be more like them. And Paul looked at it and said, this shouldn't be. This should not be. So that's the contrivance, right? In verse 13 it says, not even those who are circumcised keep the law. They're not even good at keeping the law themselves. Yet they want you to be circumcised that they may boast about your circumcision in the flesh. It's all about getting you to live according to the standard that they have adopted and then being proud of themselves for being able to do that. So what you would do is if you wanted to be spiritual, you would find a Gentile believer, just come to know the Lord, and you say, great, you came forward in our church service. Now you know the Lord as your Savior. You've been baptized. Congratulations, you're a part of the flock. Here's what you need to do next. We need to take you down to the rabbi, and we need to get you circumcised. Because once you're circumcised, then you're going to be right with God. You're going to be more spiritual. And then once we get you circumcised, there's a bunch of other laws. We're going to go back to the Old Testament books, and we're going to read them. And you're going to have to conform to these things as well if you want to be a real Christian. And then, after they got someone to be circumcised, they would go back to their Jewish friends and say, look what I did, folks. Look how many I have converted to circumcision. Another notch in my scalpel. Aren't you impressive when you get other people to obey your rules in order to feel like they're right with God? But that doesn't happen anymore, right? We don't understand how this works in our day and age because the Galatians, it doesn't apply to me because we don't have a problem with circumcision and uncircumcision here. I could care less about that, so I don't have to worry about the message of the book of Galatians, right? Well, see, the question is not about circumcision, right? Even though that word appears many, many times here in this passage of Scripture we just read, it's not about circumcision. What it's about is this. What are you boasting in? What are you boasting in? I can tell a lot about your faith when I listen to what you are boasting about. What makes you proud? What makes you bubble over? What gets you all excited? I can learn about your faith when I watch that. Another way of asking this question is, where have you placed your confidence? Where is your strength? Where does your validation as a believer come from? And if it comes from anything other than the cross, it's coming from the wrong place, is what Paul is teaching. Everybody boasts about something. Everybody has a platform on which they stand in their lives. So think about this for a moment. When the chips are down and you are attacked by Satan and you're having difficulty in your life, where do you turn? What do you rest on? What are you standing on? Christians might say, well, I'm beautiful. I'm beautiful. I'm pretty. I look good. I'm strong. I can get through anything. I've weathered many storms in my life. I'm a good mother. I'm a good father. I have successful children. And that's where our confidence comes from. I've got a degree. I've got education. And that's where our confidence comes from. I'm a good teacher. I have a good job. I'm a fine person. I don't have that problem that so many other people have. And sometimes that's the confidence that we rest in. I have a nice home. My car is clean. I'm in physical shape. I'm funny. I make people laugh. They like to be around me. Whatever it is, whatever we might turn to in our time of difficulty or in order to glorify ourselves in our lives, that is our glory. And for these Jews, it was the law of Moses that they took pride in, particularly circumcision. But what is it for you? What is it for you? What is the thing that makes you so proud? In your time of need, in your time of distress, you run to it. It's the thing about you that you glory in the most. It's a thing that if criticized about, you will go ballistic because it is a thing that you glory in the most. What is it for you? These Jews should have known better. They should have known their own Bibles. Look what Jeremiah wrote in their own Bibles. This is what the Lord says. Let not the wise boast of their wisdom, or the strong boast of their strength, or the rich boast of their riches, but let the one who boasts boast about this, that they have understanding to know me, that I am the Lord who exercises kindness, justice, and righteousness on earth. For in these I delight, declares the Lord. The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will punish all who are circumcised only in the flesh. Egypt, Judah, Edom, Ammon, Moab, all who live in the wilderness and distant places. I'm sure the people of Israel are like, yeah, get those Egyptians, get those Edomites, Ammonites, Moabites. But then he says, for all these nations are really uncircumcised, and even the whole house of Israel is uncircumcised in heart. What was he saying? Doesn't matter what you do with your flesh, it's what's in your heart. It doesn't matter all these things that you take in confidence in and where you get your strength and glory from outside, it's where your heart is that matters. So what should we be boasting about? Where should our glory be as Christians? Because all of us were designed by God to glorify and to praise something. All of us were designed by God to boast, to take confidence in something in our lives. We need a platform, a foundation for our lives. But what? Back to Galatians chapter 6, verse 14. Paul says, may I never boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. So if you are boasting in anything other than the cross of Jesus Christ, then you are doing it wrong. You're doing it wrong. Number three is the cross of glory. The cross of glory. So look what Paul said back when he wrote to the Romans in Romans chapter 2, verse 29. No, a person is a Jew who is one inwardly. And circumcision is circumcision of the heart by the Spirit, not by the written code. Such a person's praise is not from other people, but from God. This is an interesting verse for a number of reasons. First, it says it doesn't matter about the acts of the Moses law. It doesn't matter about circumcision. It doesn't matter about those things, the written code. What matters is your heart, the Spirit living within you. And he says that if the Spirit's living within you and you have a heart that's right for God, and what he would say is if your glory is in the cross, then what's true of you? It says a person's praise is not from other people but from God. Quit trying to impress everyone else when all it takes is to trust in him by the cross and you will receive the praise of God. This is an amazing verse because that word praise literally means applause. It says, God, when he sees someone who is trusting in the cross alone and not in any other fleshly, worldly things in life, but trusting in Christ's cross alone and glorying in that in their life, that God applauds that person. He praises that person who turns to the cross. God applauds you, not because of anything in your flesh, but because you are inwardly circumcised. Inwardly, you've been marked for him. You are inwardly changed by what God has done through Christ on the cross. Like the way C.S. Lewis writes about this, he says, the sense that in this universe we are treated as strangers, the longing to be acknowledged, that's what we all have, and longing to be acknowledged, to make our mark, to be known, to receive glory, the longing to be acknowledged, to meet with some response, to bridge some chasm that yawns between us and reality is part of our inconsolable secret. And surely, from this point of view, the promise of glory in the sense described becomes highly relevant to our deep desire. For glory means good report with God, acceptance by God, response, acknowledgement, and welcome into the heart of things. The door on which we have been knocking all our lives will open at last. If you're looking for glory, if you're looking for recognition, if you're looking for acknowledgement, if you're looking for someone to pat you on the back and say, attaboy, it comes at the cross. By kneeling there, surrendering, receiving what Christ did for you on that cross into your heart, and then turning toward God. And in that moment, God looks upon you and he sees the righteousness of his Son Jesus upon you and he applauds. Not because of anything you did in your own strength, because you surrendered and gloried in the cross. And that's what Paul is talking about here in Galatians chapter 6. That we shouldn't glory in the things of the flesh, but in the things of God. That the world should be crucified to us and us to the world by glorying in the cross. Paul also writes in Philippians chapter 3, "For it is we who are the circumcision, we who serve God by his Spirit, who boast in Christ Jesus, and who put no confidence in the flesh." This is what he's saying is there's a bunch of Gentiles out there that have never been physically circumcised who are actually the circumcision. Why? Because they put their glory in Christ. They're boasting in Christ. They've put their glory in the cross. So, believer, if you want to be Christ-like, first step, as we talked about last week, is to quit. It is to surrender. It is to come to the Lord and say, I can't do this, and to surrender. But don't give up there. Surrender and quit, but don't give up. Take up the cross of Jesus instead. In place of what you are carrying, your burdens, your desires, your flesh, the world, drop that and take up the cross of Jesus there. And glory in the cross of Jesus. So let me clarify this for you if I can. The only thing we have to take pride in as believers is not in our flesh, not in the world, but the death of Christ by which we have been crucified with him to the flesh, to the world. That is what we put our glory in. When you put your faith in him, at the moment you put your faith in him, believer, you died with him. And you became a new creation. And now you have the capacity to be like Jesus Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit. Not because you are smart or pretty or funny or rich or any other fleshly thing. Not because of any of that. None of that will help you in your quest to become Christ-like. But because you glory in the cross of Jesus Christ alone. And if you start there, surrender to God, taking up the cross, that's the beginning for being more like Jesus Christ. Because what is the cross? It's the intersection where God's hatred for sin met God's love for sinners. God's hatred for your sin met his love for you on that cross. It's also the place where man's absolute worst, it's the worst thing that has ever happened or will ever happen on planet Earth, is the cross. Man's absolute worst, putting to death the Savior, the Messiah, putting God on an instrument of torture, man's worst intersects there with God's absolute best. And if we can't glory in that, then there's nothing in this world that we can glory in. We glory in the cross and the cross alone. So, Galatians chapter 6, verse 14, one more time. May I never boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. Where is your glory? If we're ever going to reach the seemingly impossible mission of being like Jesus Christ, if we're ever going to make that impossible mission possible, it will be as not a result of our boasting about ourselves, glorying and putting our confidence in our lives and who we are in a fleshly way, but rather, if we want to be more like Christ, it begins when we glory in the cross of Jesus Christ alone. And when we come to that place where we are emptied of ourselves and we are filled with Him. So, believer, I pray that this would not be a message that you would say, yeah, I did that. Hey, I did that. I remember that day when I trusted in Jesus for salvation. I'm done. Because it's not something you do once. Glorying in the cross of Jesus Christ is a moment by moment opportunity for you to not glory or boast in the things of the flesh, but to glory and boast in Him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your word today. Lord, we confess, Father, that we are so proud of ourselves for so many reasons. Father, that we look at our gifts and our talents and our abilities and the benefits of this life and all of the blessings that we have attained, and we find our confidence and our strength in those things. Lord, I pray that we would learn from the Apostle Paul today not to find glory in those things, not to boast in the things of the flesh, but to boast in the cross of Jesus Christ. Thank You for our Savior who died on the cross for us. Lord, I pray that we would strive to be more like Jesus in our everyday lives, but we would never do it in our own strength, but we would start by taking up the cross. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.